This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, Will and Jake take a look back at WrestleMania weekend and the experience there live with their favorite matches, moments, and performers of the weekend. So Jake, WrestleMania weekend came and went and you never even punched me.
Yeah, I mean, there were some tempting moments.
You know, I'm sure.
We did go to Dealey Plaza. I thought it'd be kind of fitting to, like, knock you out there.
Okay, quick sidebar as we are 17 seconds into the show. Well, 17 seconds into this part. We're probably, like, 30 seconds into it, what with the music and all. But Dealey Plaza. All right. If you're a wrestling fan visiting Dallas, even if there are, say, 101,000 other wrestling fans in the city at the same time, do not carry your world championship replica belt to the site of a national tragedy. That actually works for any national tragedy and any world championship belt. Even if you are the world champion, Roman Reigns would look tactless doing that, let alone some random guy who bought the $300 WWE championship.
Or Sorry. The guy we saw in the Four Horsemen shirt wearing the NWO belt. Like, make up your mind, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Just weird. Like, that is the weirdest thing you could do. Grab a, like, drop it off in your hotel, in your car, grab a locker, do something. Don't. Wrestling shirts are tactless enough at anything. The belts were just too far.
The amount of wrestling shirts we saw were kind of depressing. Like, I mean, I get wearing them, like, at Access or at the show or, like, Why wear them in public? I mean, even if you're there for WrestleMania weekend, like, I don't get the, like, declaration that you're a fan. Like,
people really love wrestling shirts. I've been dumbfounded by it often too. It's a really strange thing.
But, you know, it's not like something culturally that, like, everybody gets, and so, you know, and any explanation of it is just going to lead you down a path of sounding like an idiot, no matter who you are and how well you understand wrestling. It's just, it's crazy that you would, I mean, wear it, especially to the Dealey Plaza of all places, but anywhere really is kind of puzzling.
Yeah, that the Dealey Plaza thing, it was just, it kind of blew my mind how many people were walking around. I mean, I half expected, like, someone to break out, like, the DX suck it over the X that marks where JFK was shot. Like, how much, it would not surprise me if I could look and find that picture on Twitter that someone took over the weekend. Like, yeah, awful.
The amount of cross-pollination between wrestling fans and conspiracy theorists is kind of hilarious. Like, all those people, like, meandering around the grassy knoll, like, looking at different angles and stuff was pretty fascinating and hilarious. Yeah.
I found that to be awesome. I thought it was kind of interesting. The people running out into the street also to take selfies of themselves on the spot where JFK was shot. That's a good taste. That was such a fun outing and just social time to watch people in that environment. Wrestling fans in public are oftentimes very interesting. And I almost feel bad for saying that, given that we probably have mostly wrestling fans listening to this. But they may not be wrestling fans, which apparently we aren't. But Jake, we spent the weekend in Dallas. You and I saw an insane amount of wrestling. Why did we see so much wrestling?
It seemed like
what were we thinking?
I mean, it was kind of what we were there for. We saw quite a bit of great wrestling, actually.
Yeah, we did. I also did hear the 6-man tag at the end of Mercury Rising, which we left early. Was awesome, like we thought it would be, but the show dragged and none of us were really feeling up for it. But with that said, on my matches of the weekend, as I start to think about them, something from that show comes up, and guys, don't worry, we're going to talk about, like, the match of the weekend, and everyone knows what that is. But something that kind of comes up from that show, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Chris Hero from the very start of the show. I would say one of the reasons the rest of that WWN Mercury Rising show felt kind of meh is because they put a singles main event on as the first match and burnt out the crowd. That was a really good match between Hero and Sabre.
And a long match for that.
I mean,
it had to be at least 30 minutes. I can't recall exactly how long it was. But, yeah, they really kind of went out and blew the doors off for the first match. And then people were just kind of waiting for the, you know, for their energy level to recover. And it didn't happen before we left. But, you know, we had to get to the Jim Ross show. And we kind of made the call to bail out a little early. But
yeah.
I will have to catch the remainder of that on VOD or something later on.
What did you think of the weekend Zack Sabre Jr. had? We saw him earlier in the day, and for some reason it escapes me who he was against.
Matt Riddle.
Thank you. What did you think of the Sabre and Riddle match?
I think Matt Riddle might have impressed me the most out of anybody I saw this weekend. I mean, I hadn't seen him in person before, and his progress, you know, from where he was, you know, just a few months ago seems pretty astounding. So, but I thought, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. had a fantastic weekend. I mean, he didn't win anything that we saw, but he definitely, you know, came out and performed very well and seemed like, you know, he just has boundless energy. Like, we saw him compete in a rather, you know, brutal match with Riddle earlier in the day, and then we came back for the WWN show, and he looked like he was, you know, just ready to go. So I was really impressed with quite a few people on the Evolve and WWN crew. It seems like everybody there is just kicking ass.
Yeah, they seem motivated. I mean, the story came out today. I saw it from Sean Radican over at PW Torch that Evolve is starting to look more at, hey, we are developmental. It seems like that's shaping them more than it has in the past. And again, we're talking about WrestleMania weekend, but there are so many other things to talk about. What do you think of the idea that Evolve might have to do without Chris Hero and Drew Galloway in order to be developmental for developmental?
I mean, is that going to be the case? I mean, are they going to have to completely, you know, swear off having other independent wrestlers come in? I mean, I guess I don't know.
What Sean reported is it seems like guys like that will be brought in occasionally as special guests, but they won't be regulars on the show. That the regulars WWE would like to see are the guys who have more of a shot of being signed. And well, they've already had Hero come and go, and they know Galloway, they know what he does, and they obviously, for some ungodly reason I can't figure out, aren't buying it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that he'll be gone forever, but the Heroes and stuff, I mean, it's kind of a bummer that you won't get to see guys who WWE thinks they may want to sign measure up to guys that everybody seems to like on the independent scene and get booked everywhere. I mean, that's kind of one of the interesting things about, you know, the way Evolve has been for the past couple of months, is it seems like there's this kind of mix of guys who are prospects for NXT and guys who are obviously just independent contractors out there, you know, in business for themselves. And it kind of makes for an interesting mix of talent. But if that's the case, then, I mean, I'm not necessarily bothered by it. I think we'll have to see what the product looks like in 3 or 6 months to say whether or not it was something that, you know, panned out for the better or for the worse.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to watch and see how the Evolve promotion changes with kind of maybe not bringing in as many talents that aren't on WWE's radar. And it'll also be interesting to see who ends up in Evolve, thinking that WWE's role there in there is probably increased. I know I was at all of the Evolve shows. I went to the Friday night one. That you didn't go to. Canyon Seaman was at every Evolve show. Like, he was there checking his phone a lot. But Canyon Seaman, Triple H's personal assistant of Breaking Ground fame, definitely there, definitely keeping an eye on talent and watching guys and talking to a lot of wrestlers as well. So that's worth keeping an eye on with Evolve. Like, does he continue to have a presence at events? Does WWE continue to have a presence at these events?
WrestleMania weekend has come and gone, but wrestling news rarely sleeps. If you want to get the best coverage of wrestling news and be way more informed than your friends, you should probably become a ProWrestling.net member. .net members get ad-free access to all of our content, exclusive audio shows including .net Weekly, which often breaks first-run news you won't hear anywhere else, audio reviews of every major wrestling TV show, and access to the .net members forum with a great group of wrestle humans to chat with. If you act now, you can get in on the tail end of our WrestleMania sale. Just enter the code WM32A in the promo code slot and get a month of .NET membership for $2. That's $5.50 off for your first month. Want to sign up for longer? We've got codes and deals for that too. Head over to ProWrestling.net and check out the discounts for all of that. Now, back to the show.
I'll say Zack Sabre Jr. versus Will Ospreay from the Friday Night Evolve show. One of the cooler matches I saw on Evolve all weekend. I liked it better than I liked the Will Ospreay versus Ricochet match, simply because Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay looked like they were having a fight, and parts of the Ricochet versus Ospreay match looked like an exhibition. They looked like it was two guys trying to out-cute each other and see who could do the most rotations and a flip. And while it was fun to watch, I don't think it was a great match, because the story told was, aren't my flips cute?
Right, and that's what stuck out to me about it too. I guess I wish I would have seen the Sabre Jr. Ospreay match just as a comparison, but just from, you know, their styles and the way they would mesh, I think it would end up being a much different match than what we saw from Ricochet and Ospreay. But that's something that you pointed out immediately as the match started. You're like, this is going to be the cutest match of the weekend, and you were right.
And I like both of them as wrestlers. I think they both get enamored with how cute they are in moments. And I'm using the word cute, and maybe that's not quite the right phrasing, but I feel like it works. Like they smiled through almost the entire match. Like they both were smiling through almost the entire match, and it was very much playing up to the crowd. And it was fun. Like, it's honestly the kind of style that makes indie wrestling a lot of fun sometimes. It's not, we're having this serious story. It's like, no, let's go out there and enjoy this, and the fans can enjoy it, and we can, and it's going to be great. Yeah,
I think it was something entirely different than, you know, what we typically grade as being, you know, like the dramatic storytelling type matches.
Yeah, like Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. To
right, hold up, it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison. I mean, I really enjoyed watching Ospreay and then Ricochet, like, you know, do their stunts, but it very much felt like an exhibition or like a stunt show more so than a wrestling match, because there wasn't a whole lot of selling. They weren't really concentrating on telling a story. It was really just an athletic exhibition in the sense that these two guys are absolutely insane with their athleticism, and they could pull off, you know, things that really nobody else can in terms of, well, what I've seen personally. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there that does, you know, flippy better than those two, but I haven't seen it myself.
That was amazing flippy. Thinking about that match and just the other stuff in the weekend too, I feel like that was one of the better things I saw. That was a really, really exciting thing. But I wouldn't say it was the best match or anything. And I that kind of amazed me. There have been people out there saying, and I mean, wrestling is subjective, to each their own, all of that. But folks are saying that the Ospreay and Ricochet match was better than Zayn versus Nakamura. And maybe I'm brainwashed by WWE. I don't think so, though. But I just don't see any universe where anything over the weekend was better than Zayn versus Nakamura.
It had a lot going for it. I mean, you know, Zayn is a guy that was well known to the NXT crowd. He had a reputation. You know, he and Nakamura had worked together in the past. Zayn is comfortable with, you know, strong style or New Japan style. And then you have Nakamura, who is sort of this otherworldly presence. You know, that's the one thing that sticks out about him when you see him in person. The guy doesn't have to say a word, but he's just a presence in the room that's hard to ignore. And I think, you know, that crowd was prepared to go absolutely bonkers for Nakamura, and they did. But it doesn't really diminish the work. I mean, I think the match they had, I've watched it several times now. I mean, it's hard to see through it. Like, it was very well done. And it's not the kind of comparison that I would make to, you know, Ospreay and Ricochet. It's just not the same type of match. It wasn't the same approach. They were, you know, trying to sort of generate a story from the match. You had, Zayn sort of throughout the match, I guess, kind of molding his style to fit Nakamura and trying to outdo him at his own game and eventually failing. And then the Ospreay and Ricochet match was essentially, you know, two guys just going out there and having a blast. And I don't really think it's fair to sort of line them up and try to compare them as being two of the same thing, because they really aren't at all.
Yeah, there were different goals there. The Zayn and Nakamura match was trying to tell a completely different story than Ospreay and Ricochet were. And I would say it succeeded a little bit better, but I also like that kind of story more. That's more what I want to see in wrestling. And part of it was just, man, Shinsuke Nakamura is amazing. Like, he is truly something else. And to see him live, to be in the arena as he enters, was really, really neat. It's nothing I've gotten to experience before. I know some folks are listening who saw him on a few ROH shows who are probably like, gosh, Will, don't you ever go to the East Coast? And the answer to that is no. So, yeah, I haven't had that privilege, but man, I was stunned at sitting there watching Shinsuke Nakamura perform. It was really just something else. To me, that is the match of the weekend. That's, you know, Shinsuke, that whole match and everything around it, it's the moment of the weekend. It's the best thing I saw, and really, I think, just my favorite thing from this weekend in wrestling.
I would agree. I think, you know, the runner-up for me was probably the women's match from Sunday at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's hard because, you know, we saw quite a bit of good stuff at Evolve and WWN too. I think Matt Riddle turned out some very good performances. You know, we saw Zack Sabre Jr. put out some good stuff. Obviously, you know, Chris Hero as well. So I mean, it's tough to, you know, to try to evaluate all that going back through your memory, because you're probably forgetting things. But I think because of the way, you know, that they cast the dramatic tone on the women's matches just from the start with the entrance and the theatrics and everything, it just felt like a more dramatic presentation to me than anything we saw at Evolve or WWN. So it kind of sticks out more in my mind. So I'd probably have to put that at my runner up. But I, you know, in terms of match quality, the stuff at Evolve and WWN is probably of superior quality.
Yeah, with the women's match, it's weird because I'm really excited that it happened. I'm really, really excited that it happened. I mean, that's what I wrote about on Monday morning, thinking back on WrestleMania. To me, that women's match is what WrestleMania will be remembered for, because everyone forgets about ladder matches. And yeah, people didn't like Roman Reigns, but I really think people are going to remember the night the women's championship became a big thing. The night it became a women's championship again, and also the night it became something that mattered, the night it was in a WrestleMania main event match. And the presentation of that women's match was the same way they would present a middle of the show main event. It was, you know, it started with the video package, the big gaudy entrances, the pyro going off in the aftermath, and the match time itself getting 16 minutes. It was a main event on that show. And I had speculated that they might do this going in. I had said, I expect these women to have a takeover style match and steal the show. And I said it would happen. And honestly, I didn't know if it would or not. Like, I didn't know whether I believed it would actually happen, but they did it, and they did it really well.
I would agree. I guess I'm kind of confused now coming away from it, because it did feel like a big deal at the time. And I think they followed up with it on Raw on Monday, hoping that it would, you know, they would continue to kind of carry that momentum forward. But they transitioned immediately away from the two other women in the match, you know, being Bayley and Sasha, and they don't seem to be involved with Charlotte, you know, coming out of the show at WrestleMania and heading into Payback. So I guess I'm kind of a mixed feelings on where the women are going, but that's probably a conversation for another day. But I really enjoyed the women's match. I thought, you know, they clearly went into it wanting to, you know, leave it all in the ring, and I think they did. You know, Becky especially, who, you know, ended up with a nasty cut and a black eye. And I think the women did a fantastic job of, you know, I don't know if we're going to look back on this match in 5 years and say, oh man, you know, this is really overrated, or this still holds up. But I think, you know,
I hope we say it's overrated.
Yeah, I do too. But I think, you know, in the moment, it definitely felt like they had arrived. And I think that's the most important thing about it.
It felt like what they had been paying lip service to for 6 months, or more than 6 months at this point. What they've been paying lip service to for the last 8 months was finally occurring. And it was everything. I mean, not to, it was everything we've been talking about on this show. Like, not to say we're right about everything. I mean, we are. But it was all of that stuff of, you have to treat it special. You have to treat it like a main event, even if the fans aren't going to see it that way. Even if fans are going to tune out the same way they always did, you have to stick with it. You have to give them time, and you have to let these characters shine. And they did that. And one thing I like about moving both Sasha and Becky away from the title picture, it keeps them, it allows WWE to keep telling Charlotte's story, because they're doing a really good job with Charlotte right now. And they shouldn't lose that. And Charlotte's a good champion. They're doing such a good job with her that Becky shouldn't win, but Becky needs a feud. And I believe on SmackDown, Becky and Emma got into it a little bit, and I go, oh yeah, Emma should really be in the conversation of this women's division now, especially if it's going to expand, if it's going to get more time on shows, if we could see two or three women's matches on every pay-per-view. Yeah, Becky versus Emma is absolutely a match we should see. Sasha, if she enters a feud similar to that, if she can get into a program that's underneath, I think that would be great. And then you have Charlotte and Natty, Becky and Emma, and Sasha doing something. You still continue to build around those three women, but you get the time to tell Becky's story and tell Sasha's story, which WWE didn't do a good job going into WrestleMania. So I would love to see it coming out of it.
Yeah, I think they're being very careful with Charlotte, as they should be. I mean, I do think she, you know, of the three that were in the WrestleMania match, I still think she's probably the weakest link in terms of her in-ring ability. She still doesn't sell particularly well. You know, she, like, for instance, you know, even no matter how much abuse she takes during a match, she always seems to, you know, get up for the figure eight, which in all honesty is like one of the most excruciating things you could do if somebody had been hammering on your ribs and your arms all match. So, I mean, there's still a ways to go. You know, she still comes across as kind of green at times, and her promos are still kind of flat. But the character, from a presentation standpoint with her dad and the way that they have focused on television has done her a lot of good. I still think they have a long way to go, but putting her with somebody like Natty makes a lot of sense in that regard. You know, because Natty is experienced and can carry her through to a great match, much like she did at one of the NXT shows. So, you know,
and at Roadblock.
So I think there's promise there. It's just whether they can execute having, you know, two or three women's feuds going at a time and devoting the attention that's necessary to making sure that those characters come across well. Because a lot of times, you know, once you step away from that title picture with the women, you end up losing a lot of creative steam. So I hope they can manage to pull it off.
It's kind of the same way tag teams are in WWE too. If you're not the champions or the challengers, you're probably not getting much time. And recently they've at least had the Dudleys and the Usos. Why, I don't know, but there's that going on. But I think that'll wrap it up for us. In the end, we saw a lot of cool stuff during the weekend. Jake, do you have a favorite thing from the weekend to share as we sign off here?
You know, I I mean, the whole weekend I had a great time. I had a great time at JR's show. I think WWN and Evolve was very good. WrestleMania was, you know, just a fantastic experience to finally see one live. So I guess my default would be to go with that just because of the spectacle of everything. But it was just a great weekend, and it was nice to finally, you know, meet you and your brother in person. It was a cool weekend for me.
Yeah, that was crazy. I like actually getting to hang out was pretty cool. That was a really fun time. I hope you didn't walk away hating us.
No, not at all.
Score. I think my favorite thing that I saw during the weekend, I'm going to go with the non-wrestling thing because the wrestles pretty much all rank above it. But the battle of weird Westboro Baptist style Christian protesters and wrestling fans outside of Access was mind blowing.
I had totally forgotten about that until you just brought it up.
It might have been one of the greater things of the weekend as these protesters are out preaching and telling people that they're going straight to hell. And the man that was doing it had a full straight to hell motion and a box he stepped out of when he said it. Like, that dude could teach promo class. He was that good. And wrestling fans, being really good at chanting things, gathered around and started whatting him. And he just kept going with straight to hell. They started, they began chanting for Undertaker. A Bray Wyatt cosplayer came in and got the crowd riled up in front of this guy. There were just amazing things happening all over that. I'm really happy to have seen it and to have chanted Presbyterians with some people when he said Presbyterians were going to hell. So that would be my, like, that's the thing I'm going to remember from this weekend aside from wrestling. And yeah. So
I hope what wrestling fans learn from that is that you can chant stupid stuff at people all day, but it doesn't really make their mind up for them. Like, it's the same thing they do at WWE's management. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. So why would it make a difference to crazy Christians? They just enjoy the attention.
I just wanted to see who was going to lose the will to go on first. Because wrestling fans are also very stubborn.
Tenacious people, yes.
Yes, it was good times. So with that, we'll sign off and we'll be back later. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!